The WTNS Communication Lines gives you 2 hours of local news, weather, sports, and information. WTNS Radio gives you everything you need to know. We are live, and we are local. And it all starts with WTNS News.
I'm Mike Bechtel with WTNS News. The Coshocton County Engineer's Office is using some funding it got through the state to thoroughly assess the county's guardrail situation. The Ohio Department of Transportation allots money to the County Engineers Association of Ohio, which then funnels the money to various county engineers' offices. Coshocton County Engineer Fred Wachtel is putting $28,800 to hire Mastermind LLC to traverse the entire county and evaluate each and every guardrail.
They will be giving us a condition summary of all the runs and work that might need to be addressed or scheduled to be done.
Wachtel says to this point, the county has always kept track of individual guardrails. This, he says, will create a centralized electronic database.
Said like when we go out for spraying contracts and stuff, we can give an accurate assessment to potential contractors, the locations, footages.
Wachtel says the last time the county got an assessment of existing guardrail was the mid-90s. Given the cost of steel, he says the undertaking is worthwhile.
About $12 per foot. So a 100-foot run is $1,200. So it's not a inexpensive investment.
Wachtel says he anticipates the process to begin in the next few months. The Tuscarawas County Health Department has announced a change to its policy for kids exposed to COVID. Effective today, any child exposed to COVID by someone they don't live with will not have to quarantine at home, regardless of vaccination status. This does come with a caveat, however, as the student must wear a facial covering for 14 days after exposure and must exhibit no symptoms. They will not be allowed to partake in extracurricular activities unless their school deems it beneficial for them to do so. If that's the case, the student must wear a mask during the activity. A Warsaw man was flown by MedFlight for treatment of injuries sustained after he ran his motorcycle through a red light Saturday afternoon. Sheriff Jim Crawford says shortly before 4:30 p.m. on Saturday, 42-year-old Justin Williamson was operating a 2003 Harley-Davidson motorcycle southbound on 2nd Street when he went through a red light, striking a 1997 Dodge van operated by Scott Terrio of Coshocton. Williamson was treated by the Coshocton County EMS at the scene and was transported to Coshocton Regional Medical Center, where he was flown by MedFlight to OSU Medical Center with unknown injuries. Crawford says alcohol is believed to be a factor in the crash. Coshocton Fire Department, Coshocton County EMS, REACT, and Prince's Wrecker Service assisted at the scene. The Sheriff's Office investigated 2 other accidents and 6 complaints on Saturday. At 4:29 a.m. on a Saturday, David Tubbs of Coshocton was traveling eastbound on Locust Street when he struck a parked vehicle. At 6:54 p.m., Agatha Johnson of Columbus was traveling southbound on State Route 16 in Jackson Township when she struck a deer. In the complaints on a Saturday, at 1:08 a.m., Joseph Clapper of Coshocton was arrested and charged with OVI after a report of a domestic altercation in the 45,000 block of County Road 58. At 10:05 a.m., Kylie Carpenter of Coshocton reported a fraud. At 2:21 p.m., a resident in the 22,000 block of Valley View Drive reported a domestic incident. A traffic stop was initiated at 2:33 p.m., and at 6:10 p.m., Robert Cass reported a theft from his residence in the 1700 block of South Lawn Extension. The Sheriff's Office investigated 5 complaints on Sunday, 3 of which were traffic stops. At 6:48 a.m., a report of a suspicious person was reported in the 300 block of South White Woman Street, and at 5:07 p.m., Kelly Corbin reported a vandalism at her residence in the 900 block of Fair Street. U.S. officials are working with Haitian authorities to try to secure the release of 12 adults and 5 children with a Millersburg, Ohio-based missionary group who were abducted by a gang notorious for killings, kidnappings, and extortion. Police say the group was snatched by the 400 Mowozo gang on Saturday as authorities seek the release of the group. Local unions and other organizations expect to launch a strike today to protest Haiti's worsening lack of security. The Western Hemisphere's poorest nation is again struggling with a spike in gang-related kidnappings and other crimes. The kidnapping of the missionaries came just days after high-level U.S. officials visited Haiti and promised more resources for Haiti National Police to help reduce gang violence. Ohio-based Christian Aid Ministries said the kidnapped group consisted of 16 U.S. citizens and one Canadian for a total of 5 children, 7 women, and 5 men. I'm Mike Bechtel with WTNS News. It is 6 minutes after 9 o'clock, 45 degrees currently in Coshocton. Good Monday morning to you. It's time for the Communication Alliance program, and I am your host, Mike Bechtel, here with you until 11 o'clock this morning. We are going to have open phone lines for most of our morning today, and it's been a little while since we've had open phones. We had a Meet the Candidate event last Friday, and an opportunity to learn about the various candidates and issues that are on the ballot, so we can talk about that if you would like here in just a little bit. And it is Monday morning, so we can do our usual Monday morning quarterbacking or Monday morning coaching. The Browns laid an egg yesterday, and part of it was we can chalk some of it up to injuries, chalk some of it up to the fact that they're playing a pretty good team, only undefeated team remaining in the NFL. We can chalk some of it up to they just didn't play a very good game. Baker Mayfield getting sacked and throwing picks. So we can chat about that if you'd like. The Buckeyes were off over the weekend, but they did move up a notch in the AP poll as that loss to Oregon slips into ancient history. So those are some of the things going on in the world of sports we can talk about. We had the Fall Foliage Tour over the weekend, and I went out on Saturday, and in my opinion, an especially nice fall foliage tour, especially when we had good weather to go along with it. So those are some things that we can chat about here in just a little bit. But we are just days away from Election Day, but you can vote right now if you choose to do so. We have with us on the telephone for a little while this morning, Stephanie Slifko, the Deputy Director of the Coshocton County Board of Elections, to talk about election-related things. And good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning, Mike.
Stephanie, first of all, an explanation to our listeners about the dynamics of the Board of Elections. We spoke quite in depth several times last year. It was a big national election, presidential election, when you were the director of the Coshocton County Board of Elections, and now you are the deputy director. Can you explain how that works?
The way we operate in Coshocton County, it is pretty much just a title. The office is ran by myself and Kirsten Ross. We are the two sole full-time people at the Board of Elections, and every 2 years, our job title switches. So sometimes the Democrat's in charge, sometimes the Republican is in charge of the office as the director. When we flip, the chairman of the board actually changes as well to be a member of the opposite party. So if there's an issue arise, the chairman is of one party, the director is of the other party, and that way there's the bipartisanship when discussing any issues we may have.
Typically, I've talked to the director in the past. That has been you. You just happen to be the one that answered the phone when I called this morning for a spontaneous interview. So we'll talk again, even though you are the deputy director this year. So when is there the changing of the guard? When does that officially change?
It typically takes place in March. We do our reorganization every 2 years. So Kirsten will serve as the director until March of 2023, and then we will switch back over. So in governor elections, like next year, Kirsten will always be the director, and I have the privilege of always having the presidential elections serving as the director.
Does your responsibilities change at all, or is it largely just ceremonial?
It is really ceremonial. We play to our strengths in this office, so we call it the first among equals. We kind of keep our same job assignments throughout the year because there's no sense in switching if we're stronger in one area than the other. So we kind of divide and conquer and just keep moving forward.
In counties, more highly populated counties with larger boards of election, are the dynamics maybe a little bit different? Do they have to switch around a little bit more in other counties, or is it pretty much what we do here standard elsewhere as well?
Not all counties switch. Sometimes it literally stays the same. So the director is always a Democrat or Republican, and the chairman is always the opposite party. Not all counties change. You see it a lot more common in the smaller counties, rotating of the director and deputy director every 2 years. So it's not something that has to be done. It is something that you might see more prevalent in your smaller counties versus your larger counties that have more contested issues and more things going on as far as chaos, for lack of better words.
Last year, Stephanie, it was a presidential election. There were many things on the ballot. There was some controversy about ways to vote and when you could vote. We had COVID, and because of all that, we spoke several times. But for an off-year election, for lack of a better term, this seems to be quite an active ballot all across Coshocton County.
There's a lot of issues on the ballot, depending where you live. We have 15 that were certified to our office, so depending where you live, you may only have 3 or 4, you may have 5, just depending on the township, school district, those types of things at which where you live. Voter turnout has definitely been slower compared to last year. There is no line, and the ladies will get you in very quickly. So we are doing early voting right now. We're about 15 days out from Election Day, so you can come in and vote anytime, 8 to 5. There are no lines.
Okay, 8 to 5, Monday through Friday or Saturday?
Monday through Friday this week. Next week it'll be 8 to 7, and then we'll have the weekend hours October 30th from 8 to 4 and October 31st, 1 to 5. So we only have one weekend in this off-year type election that will be open this time.
Are you getting a sense this year, certainly nothing like last year as far as voter turnout so far, but interest in general for an off-year, how would you gauge this year compared to 2 years or 4 or 6 years ago?
It's definitely been a lot slower. I think people are kind of taking their time and kind of researching a little bit more with the issues that are on the ballot. So I think people are listening to, you know, the township halls, meetings and those types of things, just kind of trying to figure out where they want to head when they go to the ballot box.
We have the early voting. If folks want to come into the Board of Elections, they can do that. Typically no waiting. As you said, are there other ways to vote this year?
We have the same ways we always have had in Ohio. So we have the in-person early voting where you can walk in, cast your ballot, get your sticker, and be done for this election. We have the hand-carried option. So if you want to come in and pick up your ballot, but you want to take it home, sit down, kind of research the issues, research the candidates, and then return your ballot before Election Day, you have that option. And then you also have the mail option, as always. So we have to receive a request in writing in order to mail a ballot. Once we receive that request, we'll mail a ballot out. I do not have control over the postal system, so the sooner you get those applications in, the sooner they'll get in the mail and allow for that travel time. But once you get your ballot in the mail, you're welcome to drop it back off at our office. You don't have to return it back through the postal system to return the ballot.
Is it, you just write a letter, write a note, and send it to the Board of Elections in writing? Is that how you do it?
There's a couple different options. There are forms for absentee ballot applications on voteohio.gov, so you're welcome to get on and print that out. If you are unable to print it out, you ran out of ink, whatever it may be, you can write your information down on a piece of paper. The required information is your name and your address, your birth date, some form of identification, so your social security, the last 4 digits, or your driver's license number. And you're going to have to sign and date that piece of paper stating that you're requesting a ballot for the November 2nd general election.
Last year, there were a lot of organizations, a lot of them, it seemed, that were encouraging people to to vote by mail, sending you forms in the mail, and a lot of things overwhelming to some people. Are we seeing much of or any of that this year?
It gets a little confusing to people because a lot of those organizations, they really come into Ohio during the even year elections. So 2022, 2024, you'll see those outside organizations. Typically, the Secretary of State's office will mail out absentee ballot applications when the General Assembly approves the funds to do so, and that typically happens in those even number years. So if it's an odd number year like 2021, 2023, you're probably not going to receive those applications in the mail. We are not allowed to send them in the mail unless you would call and request us to do so. So in those odd number years, you're going to have to take the initiative if you're wanting to receive your ballot by mail to print out that application or write that information on a piece of paper and send it to us.
It would stand to reason then that you are seeing fewer ballots by mail this year than you did last year.
We have mailed out so far 243 ballots, and in November of 2020, our first mailing alone was over 5,000.
Wow, okay. So if people do want to vote by mail, what are the deadlines? What's the deadline to request that ballot, or is there one?
You still have the ability to send in your application. The last day we can put ballots in the mail is October 30th, but as we know, that is kind of an ambitious deadline to get your ballot to you and voted and returned by Election Day. So the sooner you can get that application in, the better, to allow for travel times. We've been working with the post office very closely. They're doing a great job getting things delivered in a couple days for us, so we're not seeing a huge lag in delivery as it stands right now, but the sooner you can get that application in, the better.
What happens if that ballot arrives back to you a day late?
It has to be postmarked the day before election, so it has to be postmarked November 1st. As long as it's postmarked in November 1st, the law allows 10 days to travel. So as long as it's postmarked November 1st, we can receive it any time 10 days after the election, and it's still counted in the official certification.
If you do take it to the post office rather than put it in your mailbox with the flag up or elsewhere, it will be postmarked the day that you take it to the post office. Is that correct?
Yes, that's my understanding. But if you're already driving to the post office, just take a little bit of a longer drive, take in the leaves, and drop it off at our office would be your best bet.
And if you're coming from the other direction, the Board of Elections office will be even quicker. Okay, so what about poll workers? We had a story last week that you sweetened the pot, or the state has sweetened the pot, I'm not sure, as to attract poll workers.
So, poll workers, we still need about 15 poll workers. You can be a registered Democrat, Republican, or an independent conservative poll worker as well. We just have to maintain a balance amongst the precincts. Our poll workers are troopers. Let me tell you, from serving in a pandemic to the special election with low turnout, these poll workers show up that we have, and we appreciate them for all that they do. But we are looking to add to our force. So the commissioners graciously allowed us to increase the pay for the poll workers. So that's going to go into effect for the spring election. So they got about a $20 pay increase effective next year, which I know will be greatly appreciated by our poll workers, as over the years we've asked them to do way more things than maybe when they originally started out serving 10, 15 years ago. We have added the poll books, and we have added a lot of different things that require a little more attention than they were used to when they originally signed up.
But for this election, this year's election, it remains the same as it was last year. What is it, $100?
They get $102 for serving at the polls on election day, and you get $25 for attending the training. So about 2 weeks after election, poll workers receive $127 for serving on election day.
And when is the training? How long is the training?
The training takes place the last week of October. We offer two different sessions. and it takes about 2 hours or less, depending on how many people and questions we have in our group. And then we have practice make perfect sessions set up as well. So if somebody comes to training and then they go home and they process it and they're like, I want a little bit of a refresher, we offer practice make perfect sessions too. We want to make sure all our poll workers feel comfortable and confident when they go out to the polls on election day.
What are the basics that are covered during training?
We talk a lot about voter identification, making sure they have valid forms of ID, provisional voters, how to handle if somebody's moved. Our poll workers are trained that everybody gets to vote on election day, whether it's a regular ballot or a provisional ballot. We turn no one away from the polls on election day. It's the Board of Elections office job to determine those provisional ballot status and those types of things after the election. They're trained on how to set up the machines, how to look up voters in the electronic poll books, and then how to close down and secure the supplies at the end of the night as well.
If somebody would like to become a poll worker or want to learn more about it, what should they do, Stephanie?
They're welcome to stop by our office anytime between 8 and 5, or they can give us a call at 740-622-1117, and we'll answer any questions they may have. And if you want to call and just get more information, you can do that too. We are definitely looking for poll workers, about 15 as it stands right now. So if you've thought about it in the past, now is a great time to get involved. Just give me a call and we'll kind of talk through things.
Are there geographical needs, particular places where they're needed more, and does where you live make a difference as to what poll you might be working at?
We try to keep people at the polling location at which they would normally vote, but we definitely, have a need for places maybe farther out in the county, West Lafayette, up here in Clark Monroe, Tiverton. That one seems to be full most of the time, Bethlehem. We just have needs all over the county as it stands right now.
For those that do prefer to vote traditionally, vote at a polling place, do we still have the same number of polling places as we did last year? Has that changed at all recently?
We still have the same polling location. So last year, if you went and voted, you will go to the exact same place this year for this election. In the next couple years, we may look at consolidating locations, but this election, wherever you voted last year or previously, should be where you're at this year.
Always a concern, but a lot of emphasis, concern over the, especially last year, but in recent years, about the accuracy of counting the votes and making sure that votes don't get counted twice, or people are unable to vote twice, and also to make sure that everybody wants to vote, that their vote gets counted. Can you review some of the procedures that are in place, Stephanie, to ensure an accurate count?
Sure. I can say with confidence that Ohio does a great job in this process. I think that was proven last year in the 2020 general, that we have a great process in place. We have Democrats and Republicans working side by side. All the ballots are counted in bipartisan teams. On election night, those results that you see are called unofficial, because we still have to wait for any ballots that may come through the mail or provisional ballots to be determined. So on election night, the first number you see, if you're listening to WTNS, it'll be somewhere, probably around the 8 o'clock hour. Those first numbers will be just the absentee vote. So if you mailed a ballot in, voted in person, hand-carried it, whatever it may be, those are the first numbers released. And then once or twice throughout the evening, you'll get those additional numbers as the polls come in. The poll workers work in bipartisan teams to issue the ballots, to set up the polling locations, to close them down, to return the machines. So everything is done under the observation of Democrats and Republicans.
Are there... what are the protocols that are in place, or the systems in place, to make sure votes don't get counted twice, either somebody that would do that intentionally, or I guess more likely by accident? Somebody votes by mail, And then they show up on November the 2nd, for example. How does that, what kind of system is placed to make sure that that gets flagged?
So any time that you are issued a ballot, it is logged into our system. If you would come in and try to vote another ballot, the system would say, whoa, wait a minute, we have already issued this person a ballot. So an example we see a lot of is that somebody has requested an absentee ballot, and they just didn't get it back in the mail in time. They're on their way home from work, whatever it may be. They did not get that ballot back to the Board of Elections. So they decide they're just going to go to their polling location on election day to cast a ballot. The poll workers in their system, it'll show that person has already been issued a ballot, and there is no way they can issue them a second ballot to be cast at that time. What the poll workers will do is they'll tell the voter it's not a problem, and they'll issue them a provisional ballot. So they'll still get to cast their ballot, but what will happen is that provisional ballot will come back to our office, and then Kirsten and I sit down and we take a look at everything and say, okay, this absentee ballot was not returned by this voter. There is no record of it. We look, it's nowhere to be found. That provisional ballot gets counted once we determine that that voter never returned that absentee ballot. So there's multiple steps going into the process to make sure that you only get one ballot and that's all that's going to get counted.
So in that scenario that you just described, which sounds like something that could happen with at least some degree of frequency, if somebody is issued a mail ballot, it doesn't arrive, they vote on election day anyway, which they can do that with a provisional ballot. Am I understanding that right?
Correct.
And then if... and that ballot will count as voted if the mail ballot doesn't come in?
Correct. So that's why we have the unofficial results and we have the official results. The unofficial results that we leave here with on election night are what we have received up to that point. In the 10 days after election day, we go through those provisional ballots one by one to make sure that they are registered to vote, they live within our county now, and maybe they've not voted a ballot already. So that's why we have that kind of official and unofficial, because once we get through that 10-day period, look at those provisional ballots, count them, receive any ones that were postmarked correctly, then that's what becomes the official result.
You and Kirsten apparently had a pretty big job with those provisional ballots then last year, didn't you?
I think we're still trying to process what happened last year. Everything moved very, very quickly, but everything went very, very smooth. So after the election, in like a presidential election, we'll have anywhere from 250 to 350 provisional ballots. Maybe it's just somebody who moved and didn't update their address. Last year we kind of had the chaos of if you received a ballot and you requested it by mail, then you could show up and vote. So there was a lot of different rules in place last year because of the pandemic that we're not having in place this year.
Last year, what were some of the irregularities that did pop up? Strange things that happened that were resolved or maybe led to other confusion, and how frequently were those?
I think the only issue we really had last year was the confusion of if you requested a ballot by mail, that you were allowed to come in and vote in person. That was something that was specific to the pandemic. All of those things have now disappeared. And we're not using those protocols anymore, but we worked through it, and I really think we had a fantastic election in Coshocton. As busy as we were, it just ran really smooth. So we've been preparing for many, many years for a scenario like that to happen, and when the pandemic and the voter turnout turned out the way it was, we were pretty prepared for really any problem that came our way.
And you mentioned in passing if somebody forgets to update their address, an example, and I'm sure that that happens with a certain amount of regularity as well. What if somebody has moved, they're still registered to vote, but they did forget to update their address? What are their options at this point in time?
That's one of the most common reasons we see provisional ballots is because when you're moving, we're kind of the last person you think about. You're thinking about your water, your cable, and post office and all of those types of things. It is not a big deal. All you have to do is you can either come to our office, which is the option we recommend. So even on election day, if you moved and you realize, oh my gosh, I forgot to update my address, you can come to our office and we can give you a provisional ballot. The provisional ballots are so nice, too, because they serve as a registration update. Once we confirm you did not vote at the old address that you used to live at, we count those provisional ballots. So it's kind of a two-for-one deal. We update your registration, we count your ballot, we send you an acknowledgement card afterwards, and you're ready to go for the next election.
For those that were unregistered, maybe they're young and hadn't voted before, or just haven't voted for a while, the deadline has passed, right?
The registration deadline was October 4th. So if you've never been registered before, you can still register. You won't be eligible to vote for the November 2nd election, but don't wait. Get your registration in. We'll process it after the election, and we'll get you set for the spring election. If you perhaps lived in a different county, you moved away for school, and you registered in another county, and now you're back, you fall under that provisional exception. And we'll check with that other county that you used to live in, make sure you don't cast a ballot there, and then we'll pull all of your information to Coshocton County, update your registration, and count the provisional ballot. So as long as you were registered somewhere in the state of Ohio, that provisional process works for you. If you've never been registered, go ahead and get registered. Stop by our office, go to voteohio.gov, enter your information. That way you don't forget about it. We'll get it processed after the election and you'll be ready to go for the next.
After last year's election and the turnout, have you found that a lot of people are registering for the first time or re-registering this year?
We kind of had a decrease in first-time registrations, which we typically see that in an off-year election. People aren't as familiar with it. But just know, every November, we're going to have an election no matter what. If it's an odd year or an even year, we're going to have an election. So as soon as you turn 18, go ahead and get signed up. That way you're ready for the next. So people always get a little confused. Well, the president's not on. Do we have an election? Every November, no matter what, we'll have an election. The spring elections are kind of scattered a little bit depending on what has the ability to be on the ballot, but we will always have a November election.
For young people that are approaching their 18th birthday, when should they register? What are the dates for those folks? And that's more of a question for the future rather than this election, but what about first-time voters and young people? When should they register?
When you're thinking about what you're going to do for your 18th birthday, go ahead and send your registration in. So you can register to vote when you're 17. In some of the different primaries, you are actually able to vote when you're 17 years old. So when it starts crossing your mind, give us a call. Stop down. We'll help you. We'll answer the questions. And you can submit your registration when you are 17. You may be eligible in a primary to vote, or we'll hold that registration and put it in our system so that when you're 18, it gets activated.
Just out of curiosity, and this might be a complex answer, but what would be a scenario or circumstances under which first-time voters can vote while they are 17 years old?
It's typically in a primary election. So next year, 17-year-olds can vote in the May election, which will be a gubernatorial primary, as long as they will be 18 by the November election
date. Okay, all right. And so what about those? Are there programs in place to encourage or build awareness for young people to vote for the first time?
We have some really great teachers in our schools right now who do a great job of talking with the kids. They have the ability to register to vote. They make sure we get those registrations to our office. Pre-pandemic, we were contacting the schools, working with them, trying to get more involved and be a little bit more of a presence in the registration process. Hopefully someday we'll get back to to that status, but right now the teachers are the ones who are helping the kids. So if you go into your civics class, your history classes, those types of things, talk to your teachers about registering to vote. They have forms, and they're definitely willing to help get those kids registered.
For the rest of us, what are who is automatically re-registered each year, and what are the circumstances under which someone would be taking off the voter registry?
So we go through a process every year, and we look at voter files. If you haven't voted in a while, we'll send you letters. If you've moved and you haven't voted in a while, we'll send you a different type of letter. So we will send anywhere from 3 to 5 pieces of mail over a 6 to 8 year period, trying to find you if you've not been active in our system. So it takes quite a while to get removed from the voter rolls. So if you get a piece of mail from the Board of Elections, maybe just open it up. Don't set it on the side of the counter for a later date. Open it up and see what it is. It might be something like, hey, we heard you moved, update your information, or hey, we're just trying to confirm you still live in Coshocton County. So fill out those forms. Typically, it has a prepaid envelope with it. So fill it out and mail it back. We just sent out about a month ago a little over 2,000 of those forms. So we do everything in our power to try to track voters down and have communication with them over a pretty extensive period of time before somebody is in danger of being removed from the voter rolls.
Voter turnout typically higher, much higher during a presidential election, which indicates that there are some voters that vote simply once every 4 years. If somebody, I can't imagine there's too many, but if somebody voted five years ago and in that presidential election and didn't vote in the last one, would they generally still be on the rolls?
They would still be on the rolls, and we've probably sent them 2 letters trying to communicate with them, see what their address is, and they'll probably get at least another letter over the next 2 years before they are in trouble of being removed from the rolls.
Well, Stephanie, again, this is one of those things I called about an hour ago, and you agreed to speak with us. Always do appreciate it. And what at this point in time is keeping you and Kirsten and the folks in your office the busiest?
Right now, we're just getting everything prepared to send to the polling locations. So we're packing up the poll books, giving the poll workers all the supplies they need, and kind of fulfilling all of those requirements that we're obligated to do. And we're hoping that as it gets closer to Election Day, we see a higher turnout for early voting. Right now, we have processed about 554 voters. And that was pretty much, if you look back at November 2020, that was a day's work for us then. So things are a little slow. There's no line. So you are welcome to come down anytime and early vote ahead of Election Day.
And those hours, once again, for early voting at the Board of Elections.
We are here all week, Monday through Friday, 8 to 5. Next week, we will be here from 8 to 7. So if you work till 5, next week's your opportunity to vote early. We'll be here until 7. If you have kids that are away at college but they want to come home and vote, the weekend of October 30th, we will be here. So we will be here that Saturday, 8 to 4, Sunday, 1 to 5. Early voting ends at 2 p.m. on Monday, November 1st.
And what do you need to bring with you if you vote early or vote on Election Day?
You just need to bring a valid form of ID. If you have a driver's license or something that may be expired, you can get on to VoteOhio.gov, and there is a list of other forms of identification that are acceptable for you to bring as well.
Loaded question, but how does your workload and Kirsten's workload compare in 2021 compared to 2020, especially when you take that primary into account?
We do the same thing whether we have a small election or a large election. It just depends how many faces we see. So we're seeing a lot of less faces this type of election compared to last year. So we do the same thing whether it's a presidential or it is a local election year.
Well, and certainly a great answer, but you and Kirsten and the Board of Elections and the poll workers and a lot of folks really had to bust tail last year.
I think we're still trying to process last year.
Well, thank you as always, Stephanie, for speaking with us this morning. And if anything comes up on the talk show, could be giving you and Kirsten a call here in the upcoming days. Lots of valuable information, and I appreciate your time here on the talk show.
Thanks, Mike.
That is Stephanie Slifko, Deputy Director of the Coshocton County Board of Elections. It is 9:40. We'll be back in just a moment.
This is your Coshocton County Sheriff, James A. Crawford, asking for your support on the Coshocton County Justice Center sales tax levy. The passage of this levy is vital for the safety of my officers. It will give us the ability to lock down the facility to provide exceptional security measures and afford us compliance with proper inmate management. The future of our entire community benefits with the ability to hold lawbreakers accountable. Please vote yes for the Coshocton County Justice Center levy on November 2nd. Paid for by the Coshocton County Justice Center Committee, Todd Brown, Treasurer.
Hi, this is Mark Lacey with Old Town Realty. There is so much more to selling real estate than just the purchase price. Bankers, purchase contracts, inspectors, title searches, appraisers, closing fees, tax proration, surveyors, mineral rights, just to name a few. Whether buying or selling, you would be wise to have a good, experienced, professional real estate agent on your side. You can reach me at 740-502-3074. And remember, if you think land, Mark Lacey's your man.
In today's society, it has become common for people to select their own memorial, taking the responsibility off family members at the time of need. This allows for the design of the monument that best symbolizes their lives. A special monument can say so much about the person they represent. This is Tim Milligan from Milligan Memorials, and for 107 years we have been providing the honest answers and quality products your family deserves. Stop by Milligan Memorials at 1132 Cemetery Drive and let our family help you create your own special lasting memorial.
Call Milligan Memorials at 622-5833.
Looking for a job? Papa John's Pizza is now hiring drivers. Apply at www.pleaseapplyonline/pjz.com.
Injuries and other conditions affecting your hands can make even the simplest tasks feel impossible. That's where the fellowship-trained hand surgeons at Genesis can help. They are the only doctors in the area with the highest level of training for hand surgery. And they use that expertise, the latest technology, and the full support of Genesis Healthcare System to put possible back in your hands. Better begins here. Start your path to better at genesishcs.org.
Here we go.
Side-by-side season is here. Get your buggy ready at Advantage Tire and Audio. Take a short ride out County Road 6 and check out our side-by-side accessories. We carry your favorite products like Amsoil, Trinity Racing, Kicker Audio, Polaris Oil, Swamp Donkey, Rhino Brand Axles, 5150 Whips, and much more. Call ATA today at 740-295-9200.
Sunshine today with highs in the mid-60s. For tonight, clear with lows around 40. And for tomorrow, sunny with highs in the upper 60s. It is currently 45 degrees in Coshocton. And, well, we have open phone lines for the remainder of our morning here. If there is something about the election that you would like to chat about, you can give me a call, 740-622-1560-1567 or 545-9284. Always appreciate the folks from the Board of Elections for joining us. And so often they make themselves available on short notice, and a lot of valuable information coming from Stephanie and the Board of Elections. So Election Day is November the 2nd. Early voting is underway as we speak. And we had the Meet the Candidates event last Thursday evening that we broadcast live, replayed it on Friday morning. We had representatives from various levies, the Career Center levy, joining us. We have Mr. Rinkus from Riverview that will be joining us on October the 26th to talk about the Riverview levy. And we had Todd Schroyer from the Coshocton County EMS to talk about that renewal levy as well. So phone lines are open. It's 9:45, and we'll take another quick break and get to the phones right after this.
And we're back with the final question. Are you ready?
Yep. I'd like to go ahead and answer the question.
I envy your confidence, but the producers are saying I have to ask the question.
All right, then.
For higher yields, which seed treatment fights hardest against nematodes?
The answer's Elevo Seed Treatment.
That's correct!
Yeah, I know.
What a show! Join us next week when the right answer will still be Elevo Seed Treatment. BASF. We create chemistry. Always read and follow label directions.
This is the sound of a popular American motorcycle. It's the sound of freedom. The open road. Really good times. And this is what it sounds like with a drunk guy in it. How do you like the sound of that? Cops are cracking down on drunk motorcycle riders. If you ride drunk, you will get caught and you will get arrested. Drunk riding. Over the limit, under arrest. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Transportation.
Hey there, what are you doing today? Would whatever it is be easier with faster, more reliable home internet? If you said yes, we have good news. Plus, you could save up to $150. Viasat offers high-speed satellite internet wherever you live, even if cable providers don't go there. So you can get online today and tomorrow. Go to viasat.com/connect now and save up to $150 on select home plans. That's viasat.com/connect now. Minimum 24-month service term. Service is not available in all areas. See viasat.com for additional terms and conditions.
For winning Ohio lottery numbers 24 hours a day, call the Be Dry Lottery line at 622-CALL. That's 622-2255. Let Be Dry transform your damp basement into useful living space.
Coshocton Regional Medical Center has been proudly recognized as a 2021 top 100 hospital in the nation by Fortune and IBM Watson Health. This distinction demonstrates our ongoing commitment to patient-centered care right here in Coshocton. With over 6,000 hospitals in the nation, we are proud of our employees and staff whose hard work and dedication to our patients made us a top 100 hospital. Coshocton Regional Medical Center, where care matters most.
Hello?
Hi, Chris. This is Jody Meek with Century 21. I heard that you have some real estate needs. I can sell your home and find a new one for you. Have you heard that Century 21 will make a donation to a charity when the transaction closes? Chris, the client decides where the money will be donated. Let's get started. I look forward to making your real estate dreams come true.
To make your real estate dreams come true, call Jody Meek with Century 21 at 740-502-8890.
Sunshine today with high temperatures in the mid-60s. Tonight, clear. Lows around 40. And tomorrow, sunny with highs in the upper 60s. Currently, it is 45 degrees in Coshocton. It is week 10 of the high school football season. And a pair of exciting games involving Coshocton County Schools. All three of them coming up this Friday night. And you don't have to choose. We will have coverage on FM 99.3 of Garraway at Ridgewood. Both teams are 9-0. They are playing for the IVC championship, and Garraway ranked number 6 in the state. Ridgewood is number 5, and on paper it looks like a couple of very evenly matched outstanding teams. That game will be broadcast live here on FM 99.3 on 102.7 FM. It's a Coshocton County battle. And the Coshocton Redskins are on the road at Riverview. So you can listen to that game on 102.7 FM. You can hear those games on the radio, or you can also watch them live on the WTNS Facebook page or YouTube page. Airtime, both of those games Friday night is 6:30. Kickoff is 7 o'clock. High school football is brought to you locally in part by Coshocton Regional Medical Center, Liddy Scrapyard, Fisher Funeral Home, Whitt's Frozen Custard, and the John Ionello Agency. And fans of all three of our county schools, and Garraway, a sliver of Garraway schools here in Coshocton County as well. And so exciting fan bases from all four of those schools. And you can tune in to this Friday night to catch all of the high school football action. The Buckeyes, well, they had last weekend off, and they are back this coming Saturday. They are at Indiana, and that is a team that you don't want to sleep on. We join the network at 6 o'clock Saturday evening. It's an evening game. So that'll be a Saturday night. And the Browns, well, they are reeling now. They are 3-3. They just got clobbered by Arizona yesterday, and they've been hit by the injury bug. And still no word on the severity of the injuries to Baker Mayfield and Kareem Hunt. Nick Chubb already out last week with an injury. Mayfield insists that he will be back this week, and the Browns play Thursday night. They play Denver. Mayfield says he'll be in, but you wouldn't expect Baker Mayfield to say anything less. So those are some things that we can talk about. The phone lines are open till 11 o'clock. Let's go ahead and take our first call of the morning. Hello, you're on the air.
Morning, Mike.
Morning.
Yeah. I know that you were talking about injuries. There was also a big bad injury last night on Sunday Night Football.
Oh, I didn't watch. Who are you talking about?
It's the Steelers versus the other hated team in the NFC West.
Oh, the other hated team in the NFC West. Seattle Seahawks. Yeah, the Steelers won 23-20 in overtime. Who got hurt?
I think it was one of the running backs, but again, it was just really bad that they delayed the game.
Oh, okay. One of those, huh?
Yep. It was so bad that an ambulance had to be out there.
Gosh.
Yeah. I wonder if it's bad. I was talking to my dad about it since he was watching the game. I wonder if it was bad, like what happened to Ryan Shazier.
I'll have to see what I can find out here. Let's see. It was Seattle Seahawks linebacker Daryl Taylor left his team's primetime showdown against Pittsburgh late in the fourth quarter on a stretcher with an unspecified injury. Taylor fell to the ground during a three-yard gain by Pittsburgh's Najee Harris, with the Steelers driving near midfield with 3:10 to play in regulation. Taylor was on the ground for more than 10 minutes while being attended to by the medical staff. Players from both sides came out to offer support. He was placed on the stretcher and taken to the hospital. NBC did report that Taylor had movement in all of his extremities. So that story cleared the AP wire last night. I'll have to see if there's any updates this morning.
Yeah, yep. And then there's a couple of new stories for you. I was just getting ready to head out the door to take care of some stuff for my great grandmother. And the sad news in the world of politics: Colin Powell passed away.
Yeah, Colin Powell.
That's the report.
Yeah, that we just learned of that this morning as well.
Yep, and then you remember the Andy Griffith Show?
Certainly.
The one who played Thelma Lou passed away.
Thelma Lou, she went unseen for a while and finally became a regular. That was Barney's girlfriend. Well, I don't recall the name of the actress.
I believe it's Betty Lynn.
Mm-hmm, okay.
Yeah, it was pretty much a couple of sad stories, and then pretty much now, then you have this whole kidnapping down at Haiti.
Yeah. And that has somewhat of a local connection, that the group that sent missionaries down there is based in Ohio, and some of it, I understand, up in Holmes County.
Yeah, it's really worrisome, especially if it's almost where you have to be cautious if you're a missionary or almost.
Well, that's true, and furthermore, this group in Haiti has a reputation for violence.
Yeah, I know that's been pretty bad for a while. It's almost as bad, almost what you could see consider as bad as what happens in Somalia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
both have both are lawless countries.
Yep. Almost like a Mad Max film.
Mm.
Yeah, and I do feel bad for you for your Browns today, Mike. I do.
Well,
as a Niners fan,
I feel bad for them too.
Cardinals. Yeah. As a Niners fan who hates the Cardinals, I hate them much as a passion like you guys hate the Ravens.
Yeah, and the Steelers.
Yes.
The Cardinals, they got a good team. I think they showed it yesterday. They look good in all facets of their game. They made the Browns look bad. The Browns didn't play their best, no question about that, but they were up against a pretty good team, the only remaining undefeated team in the NFL. But the Browns it was a deflating loss for the Browns, and furthermore, whether the injured players come back for Thursday or not, or come back soon, when you lose players to injury, that is a blow as well. So a tough day, a tough week all around for the Browns. Appreciate your call. I need to get to another commercial break here before the top of the hour. It is 5 minutes until 10. We'll be back in just a moment.
Keep your vehicle on the road with new tires or mechanical work from Shriver Tire Service. Take advantage of these rebates at Shriver Tire Service. Purchase 4 qualifying Mastercraft tires and receive up to a $120 mail-in rebate. Purchase 4 qualifying Nexen tires and receive up to a $140 instant rebate. Shriver Tire offers new tires for passenger, truck, and farm vehicles, as well as light mechanical work. Custom wheels are now available, as well as financing. Again, now through the end of the month, receive rebates when you purchase 4 qualifying Mastercraft or Nexen tires. For more information, stop by 2171 Otsego Avenue or give them a call at 622-6989.
Are you looking for a fulfilling career with great benefits? At Kraft Heinz Coshocton, you can be part of making some of America's favorite, most iconic brands. They're hosting open interviews on October 24th from 5 to 7 at their factory location at 1660 South 2nd Street in Coshocton. That's 1660 South 2nd Street in Coshocton. Stop by, grab a box of Kraft mac and cheese, and offers will be made on the spot. They're currently offering pay starting at $16.14 per hour. If you're ready to make the bacon and bring it home too, stop by and see them on October 24th from 5 to 7 p.m.
Who do you choose for your home health care? A company with over 50 years of experience, or someone still learning? Hi, I'm Tim Postlewaite with College Park Home Care. And for over 50 years, we've provided care for the elderly, the disabled, and chronically ill. Our services include wound care, medication monitoring, pain management, doctor-ordered regimens, and physical therapy. But best of all, College Park Home Care comes to where you're most comfortable, your home. To learn more about what sets us apart from the others, call College Park Home Care at 740-623-4607.
This is Debbie Sheets, and I invite you to join me in voting for the Coshocton County Library Levy on November 2nd. Book chats, guest speakers, computer and printing access, genealogy resources, and research assistance are available to all. Adult activities are offered to inform, entertain, and expand your world. This levy is not a new tax, but rather will sustain the library's excellent services to our community. Paid for by the Coshocton County Library Levy Committee, Tim Vance, Treasurer.
Get the local weather forecast by calling Jeff Drennan Ford Weather Service at 622-0194. Ford is America's best-selling brand, and we've got the selection, the financing, and the service at Jeff Drennan Ford, South 2nd Street in Coshocton.
Life moves fast. Can you keep up? Cleveland Clinic Union Hospital Ortho Express Care welcomes patients with no appointment necessary, so injury or joint pain never slow you down. Our orthopedic experts will give you the care you need when you need it. For every break and breakthrough, for every bone and joint, for every care in the world. Walk in for orthopedic care close to you in the Heritage Square Plaza at Dover. Learn more at unionhospital.org/orthoexpresscare.
At A1 Kennel Care, it is almost like home. We have air conditioning in the summer and heated floors in the winter. We have a supportive caring staff who hand walk your pets to encourage exercise. We offer quality time with our staff under the supervision of a veterinarian. Boarders are in a separate building from all sick or hospitalized pets. Come visit us at A1 Kennel Care.
A1 Kennel Care is located 1/2 mile west of Coshocton on US 36 or call 622-4443.
This Ion weather forecast is brought to you by ValleyATV.com, your Polaris and Can-Am dealer.
If you're looking for a Polaris or Can-Am, ATV or side-by-side, then visit Valley ATV first. Valley ATV, the dealer where you can test drive in the dirt before you buy. Visit Valley ATV Polaris and Can-Am today on Jellaway Road in Danville or online at ValleyATV.com.
Sunshine today with high temperatures in the mid-60s, clear tonight, lows around 40, and for tomorrow, sunny with highs in the upper 60s. Currently, it is 47 degrees in Coshocton. This lost and found pet information is brought to you by Good Boy Bakery. A female medium-sized mixed-breed yellow lab was found near the Coshocton Veterinary Clinic on State Route 83. And if you have any information on that dog or it's yours, call the clinic at 740-622-1146. This lost and found pet information was brought to you by Good Boy Bakery. This is WTNS FM, Coshocton, Ohio. It is 10 o'clock. We'll get to the news from the Associated Press shortly. We have a caller that's been waiting for a few minutes, so let's get back to the phones. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. Is the broadcast of the candidates forum on the communication line archive?
I believe that it is. I can't say that with certainty, but we do have the past weeks of talk show for the past five talk shows that rotate. So the most recent 5 days will be on our website, mywtnsradio.com. So I believe it is. So if you just click on the one, there'll be five of them that pop up right there on our front page, and click on the most recent. It should be there.
It was Friday, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I heard like 3 minutes of it, and I got pulled off completely on something else, and it was like, that's what I wanted to listen to. So just to keep my call short today, and I don't know if you can do these out of your head, probably not. I just keep hearing.
That sounds like a challenge. Go ahead.
Well, I just keep listening to, I mean, is there a levy for everything? I mean, I'm not an anti-taxi person, but. Okay, so the JVF has a levy.
The two countywide levies. There is the library, which is a renewal. That one is a half mil. There is the Career Center levy, and I think I know, but I don't want to give misinformation. That one is a. Let's see. I say three. There's four. Let's see. There's the Career Center. There's the library. There is the Justice Center. And Riverview has a levy, and let's see, I'm forgetting one. I just had it. That's a countywide levy as well. EMS.
The sales tax.
Yeah. The sales tax is for the Justice Center, the jail. Yes.
The rest are millage. Now it'll be interesting to see, to me, what passes and what doesn't, and I won't make any predictions, but I will make a judgment about the mindset of the community depending on what passes and fails, I think. it'll be really interesting because I got to tell you, I can't see people voting for all of these. What do you think?
Well, several of them are renewals, and renewals do have a tendency to pass more. More readily than new taxes. So, and I'm not going to offer, tell people how to vote, but those are patterns, historical patterns. The Justice Center, there have been property tax issues, and it's been a while, but in the past, the property tax to support a new jail, those levies have failed. This is a different approach, a sales tax. I have heard here on this program and out in the community different viewpoints on it about whether a sales tax would work better. There are those that say, well, it's more fair than just going at the property owners. The general consensus of what I've heard on and off the air is that not everybody, but most agree that we need a new Justice Center, but it comes with a hefty price tag, which whether it's funded by a property tax or a sales tax, leaves some people balking. Just an important note, because there was some confusion a few days ago, as far as the sales tax goes, it would not be applied to cars, and it wouldn't be applied to outboard motors, and wouldn't be applied to boats that need to be titled, I guess is the official language in the state code. But so I guess those are my thoughts. Will they pass? Will they not? I guess just to offer another thought, when you've got four of them that are countywide, the more there are, people start doing the math in their head, that could possibly be a deterrent for all of them. You know, there could be some that would say, well, I'll vote for all of them. Some that say, oh, we got enough taxes, or we need to take some taxes off and vote for none of them. So those are my thoughts. We'll see what the good people of Coshocton County have to say on November 2nd.
Yeah, it is just, you know, we've had the property revaluation lately, so these things are even more keenly on people's minds.
Yeah.
Then did when I finally get to listen to this, are all the school board, do all the school boards have people up running now? This time, all three of them?
Coshocton and Riverview. Riverview has several. I think there are seven candidates for Riverview. There are a few for Coshocton as well. And I don't think, and I know somebody will call right away if I'm wrong, but I don't think that there are any at Ridgewood that are contested.
Okay, well, and it's just like, you heard my piece about school boards the other day when I was...
And I took your phrase, axe to grind, and ran with it, and it generated a lot of discussion. But the one question that Jeremy asked, and it's kind of a double-edged sword, but that he asked of all the candidates was, I'm paraphrasing here, but would you support a mask mandate if it were proposed at your school? And a few of them were, without hesitation, said no, they would not. If that was the, and when you said axe to grind, was that the one issue that came to your mind?
Well, no.
Okay.
I mean, right now, all that kind of mindset of anti this, anti that, anti good science, anti what I would have thought was normal thought, even 30 years ago, that I want to look at. But I mean, there are other axes to grind that people have, and they think they can go in and they think they can change how things are locally, and they're going to find out they're running up against long established state laws and associations that deal with school boards and schools, you know. And if I hope they're not that ignorant of how schools work, but it could be. And the other thing, as I said, I've got to find out who these people are, because some of them don't have names I recognize. Of course, I've been in and out of the county for the past several decades, so I've got to figure out who they are. And that means I'm going to have to start calling old friends and asking people who these people are.
Well, you can start with the replay of the meet the candidate. I thought all of the candidates presented themselves well and gave listeners an opportunity to get to know them a little bit. You can follow up by doing just what you suggest and calling them or talking to other folks that may know them or interact with them.
Yeah, and the one I happen to hear has been on there long enough that it's somebody that probably needs to not be on there. I mean, I don't know what advantage there is to staying on a school board 20 or 30 years. There must be some benefit that accrues to people that I'm ignorant of. I think there's some pay they receive, so is there a tiny pension when you're done? You know, you get some compensation for being on for your, you know, expenses and things. I just, and maybe it's just a real feeling of service, and now I know, just the same way people stay in the legislature, in the state and national legislature. It's like, well, I know what I'm doing now, and I can be more helpful. But I mean, my history in this county is that, I mean, I've watched people practically be born and die on certain school boards, and it just, it stands my hair on end, you know.
The whole idea of long terms and career politicians, and you know, especially in the on a federal level, and our representatives and senators. I can tell you, and I don't know exactly what the numbers are, but nobody's getting rich being on a school board year after year. And my thoughts on that is that there is a genuine passion and interest for the welfare of the school districts and the kids and those that are in the school district from those that do serve on a school board. Certainly you get a little bit to be on it, but it's not something that that you're going to be able to retire on just being on a school board alone.
Yeah, but I just, if people want to get in there and just battle all the time, it's all right to question how things are going, but if you think you're going to go in there and change things, that's when I would become and I would become more politically active if we get this jail bill and then they start taking the space to house more prisoners from out of county to make money rather than using the space that they've sold us on that could be potentially rehab space. As if, you know, and a lot of the people in that jail, they need rehab help, and it's kind of costly, but you might be able to reduce recidivism if you can, you know, if you can really get some rehab help for those people that are largely local and repeat people. I mean, every jail that anyone's ever been in of law enforcement people in my family are like, well, we see the same people every other week, so.
Well, it would be interesting to hear, and we don't have anybody as of yet scheduled for the talk show. We did have the sheriff on Meet the Candidates night speaking to it, and we did have a town hall that we broadcast a few weeks back. But that is an interesting aspect of it as to how the Justice Center not only would be able to house more prisoners and be legal. And be up to code, but how it would help with rehabilitation and trying to curb recidivism. I hesitate to want to say that that our law enforcement and our court system aren't trying to be proactive to decrease recidivism, to give people help, to get people help, especially with drugs. After it's led to crime, but maybe with a new facility, I don't know exactly how, but maybe with a new facility, there could be more that could be done.
Well, and like I say, my experience when I lived in another county was that they took that potential rehab space, built more cells or built more space so they could house prisoners from other places at a profit. And, you know, that quote-unquote kind of mentality is something that would probably cause me to draw a picket sign. But let me say a word about the hate missionaries.
Yes.
My family, I've had career missionaries for 30 years in my family now. And at any minute, they have to be kind of ready to leave where they are. The country they're in has been friendly to missions work in general, but they are on pins and needles every time there's a presidential election because, you know, it's kind of a third world country. But I don't know. Haiti, well, this is hard to say. I often flash it through my mind that if, and I'm sorry if anyone's listening that's of Haitian background, but it's almost a lost cause. I know that's a horrible thing to say, but I don't know what to think. From the time I've been a child, I listen to missionaries speak and nothing has changed. Nothing has changed. If there can't be change somehow, then something, there's some fundamental something that's wrong, just like many countries in the world, you know. And I don't know how else to say it, that when that kind of thing is going on, when everybody's living by the skin of their teeth and the politicians that are elected down there just are waiting for graft all the time from whatever foreign aid or whatever they can get their hands on, to enrich themselves, and people are getting killed and all that stuff. I mean, I'm talking about not kidnapped, but the guy that was giving up the presidency that was killed a few days before.
Yeah.
You know, it seems like ancient history now, a month or so ago, right in his own house. Then, and maybe it was an inside job. Then you start to, I don't know, you start to really kind of shrug your shoulders about the situation there. And I will not on a cruise ship anymore get off at that playful island place that the cruise ship line runs that they rent to other cruise ships, the one line rents out that's a part of Haiti, because you know 5 miles away people might be starving. And here's this playground that they've made on this beach. I don't know. I can't think of the name of it, but
I know. I've certainly, with all the research I've done on cruises, I have seen it, and it is exactly that. It is fenced off, barricaded off from the rest of the island. It is owned by I think one of the cruise companies. Suffice to say, it's a little tropical spot that was meant to be a resort, a playground, if you will. There are other impoverished areas, certainly partly of the Caribbean, but Haiti is oftentimes cited as the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere. You add to what you've already said about it and the fact that it shares an island with the Dominican Republic, yep, which has some problems of its own, but certainly that country thrives much, much more than Haiti. So Haiti has some serious problems, which leads me to wonder, well, are there examples in the world where there were countries that descended into to poverty, perhaps close to anarchy, and have been able to emerge from that? Can't come up with one off the top of my head, but there has to be something close to it.
Something, yeah. Well, I'll stop from there. I know you need to run the news, so thanks for your information. It's always good to talk through something.
MyWTNSRadio.com. You can go there and click on the Communication Lines program from last Friday, and the Meet the Candidate event should be there. And a lot of things that were discussed, you can actually meet the candidates, find out about the issues. It's 16 minutes after 10. Let's get our national international news now from the AP.
This is AP News. I'm Rita Foley. Retired General Colin Powell has died of complications from COVID, though his family says he was fully vaccinated. A veteran of the Vietnam War, Colin Powell rose to the rank of four-star general and in 1989 became the first black chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He talked about that in 2008 to mark the 60th anniversary of military integration, saying he never dreamed when he was younger that he'd get that far.
I said to myself, self, you're going to grow up and become chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. It didn't happen that way. It was unthinkable. It was impossible to conceive.
Colin Powell is also President George W. Bush's Secretary of State. But the AP's Sagar Magani reports,
his reputation, though, was stained in 2003 when he went before the UN Security Council to make the U.S. case for war against Iraq, citing faulty information that Saddam Hussein had weapons of mass destruction. Sagar Magani, Washington.
Former President Trump will testify under oath today in New York in a case about his security team's crackdown on a protest during the early days of his presidential campaign. The AP's Julie Walker.
According to court papers, the former president will record the deposition at Trump Tower. The lawsuit stems from a September 3, 2015 protest outside the tower over negative comments Trump made about Mexican immigrants. Six of the protesters said they were roughed up, and there is video of the incident. State Supreme Court Judge Doris Gonzalez denied an effort by Trump to quash a subpoena ordering him to testify. The judge said Trump's argument that there must be exceptional circumstances to depose a high-ranking government official did not apply because he was being called to answer for conduct outside of office.
Still missing in Haiti, 17 people with a U.S.-based missionary group who were kidnapped by a gang. This is AP News. Pope Francis has something to say about the violence in several countries. Karen Shamas is overseas with this.
Pope Francis has denounced recent attacks around the world, calling for an end to violence. Last week, many attacks took place, such as in Norway, Afghanistan, and England. I express my closeness to the victims' families and beg you all to please abandon the path of violence. In Norway, a bow and arrow attack claimed 5 lives, and a suicide bombing carried out by the Islamic State in Afghanistan killed over 45 people. In England, a British lawmaker who was meeting at a church with some of his constituents was fatally stabbed. The pontiff described violence as a defeat for everyone and said, let's remember that violence generates violence. I'm Karen Chamas.
The price of gas is zooming up. Gas is $3.33 a gallon this morning, says the AAA. I'm Rita Foley, AP News.
It is 19 minutes after 10, and we have open phone lines up until 11 o'clock this morning, 740-622-1560, 1567, or 545-9284. If you do want to talk about the election, if you would like to talk about something else, we can do that. Colin Powell passing away, had the story there in the AP News. We can talk some sports. A tough weekend for the Browns. The Buckeyes moving up a notch in the poll. And the Coshocton Redskins, big win over West Muskingum Friday night, although it was a lot more exciting than I'm sure the team wanted it to be. So the Redskins take on Riverview Friday. It'll be Garaway at Ridgewood Friday night, a pair of 9-0 teams. So we can chat about the football if you would like. Colin Powell passing away, and Betty Lynn was the actress's name. She played Thelma Lou on the Andy Griffith Show. She passed away at age 95 after a brief illness. The Andy Griffith Museum in Mount Airy, North Carolina, announced in a statement. And Thelma Lou, didn't see her at first, but ultimately became a part of the show. And 95 years old, that was Barney's sweetheart, Barney's girlfriend, Thelma Lou. So we can talk about that. And the Andy Griffith Show, oftentimes held up as a good, wholesome television. And Andy Griffith, a funny guy in his own right, but oftentimes played straight man to Don Knotts, the bumbling but lovable deputy. And that was a good show. I still enjoy watching some reruns of Andy Griffith every once in a while. And My favorite episode, as I mentioned so many times, The Pickle Story. A lot of good episodes, but that one stands out. And the whole moral of the story is that Barney and Andy, they just didn't want to hurt Aunt Bee's feelings. Aunt Bee, an outstanding cook, cooked for both of them and known for her prowess in the kitchen, except for pickles that Barney dubbed kerosene cucumbers, and they ended up eating lots of those pickles because they just didn't want to tell Aunt Bee how awful they were. And that was really the plot of the story. So we can talk about Andy Griffith, Betty Lynn, the Andy Griffith Show, or whatever else that you're thinking about on this Monday morning. And yes, I'll check just to make sure that it recorded properly. And the Meet the Candidate event is in fact on our website, the Communication Alliance program from last Friday. It will be on there for a week. The last five talk shows are always on there. You can click on it and get a replay of the talk shows. Fridays was the replay of the Meet the Candidates event. So if you want to learn more of the candidates, if you missed it, or you just want to hear it again, you can go to mywtnsradio.com and scroll down, and it will be, at this point in time, the first of the five talk shows, which recordings are featured on our website. All right, it is 23 minutes after 10 o'clock. Phone lines are open until 11. Let's take our next call. Hello, you're on the air.
Hey, Mike. Had a few minutes. I was listening to the last caller. You guys covered a lot of subjects there.
Well, pick one.
Well, you know, I thought his take was interesting about people running for, you know, things like school board. I got last Sunday, not yesterday, but the previous Sunday, I got to see a really interesting speaker. His name was Scott Pressler. He's a young guy that travels all over the place encouraging people to register to vote and get out and run for office. And he was in Mount Vernon, and it was a pretty intimate setting. There were maybe 25 people at this meet. And, you know, I've learned from listening to him and from listening to other people, a guy by the name of David Bartlett, who was talking out in California on Godspeed Calvary Chapel's Rumble page, that, you know, the thing is that America and how America became what it is wasn't because it was a top-down movement. It was a bottom-up movement. And the thing is, it didn't happen all at once. Everybody didn't just decide to break from England and form this great country. It happened on a local level. And it looks like that because you had so many people on local levels do it that eventually it did act as one, as a movement. So I disagree with this thing about school board. You know, like people can run and, oh, well, they're not going to change much because it's been that way and you have all these established precedents. The reality of it is that we're at a time in history where the people, if we take the actions that we need to take, we can save our country. If all the localities were to agree, you know, on certain issues, not everything, and not everything needs to be political, but if they agree on certain things, just for example, that a school board should be able just to decide what curriculum they want to use. If you had, say, you know, 30, 40 school boards across the state of Ohio agree on that, you know, you could pretty much say that's a consensus if that's a majority. I don't know how many school boards there are in Ohio, but I'm making that up. But, you know, I think what we're seeing is encouraging. We're seeing a lot of people wanting to step up and make a difference. And if enough of them do it, we can take our country back. We, you know, and there are people that don't like America. And, you know, I hate to say it that way, but there's, on one side of the politics, I think you have within that group of people, there's a faction of people that don't like America, and the only way to save our country is for us to, as ordinary people, get in these positions at the local level and do the grunt work. And once we do the grunt work, you know, that'll enable us to get to the higher levels, you know, okay, you take back your education system locally. You take back your trustee system or your county commissioner system. You do all that. Well, then eventually you can take back the governorship, you know, and put it in the hands of not someone who's going to be a career politician, but that they're going to come, they're going to serve, and then they're probably going to go back to their life. You know, our best leaders, that's what they've done over the years. They haven't stayed in it their whole life and made a career of it. That's a more recent trend. I think we're at a really unique time. It's an exciting time to be alive, and I'm kind of glad to be, you know, I've heard older people say they wouldn't be young again, but I'm kind of glad I'm young, because this is exciting to see what's going to happen. But check him out if you get a chance, a guy named Scott Pressler. He's a real interesting young guy that's done a lot of really amazing things all over the place. But
okay.
yeah. I mean I never had heard of him. The reason I was invited to it, I a friend of mine in that group I'm in, that Make Americans Free Again group, she invited me, and I looked him up online, and I'm like, boy, this is an interesting person. And then I got to learn a little bit more about what he's done. I mean, he went into, I think it was Baltimore or Boston. I can't remember now for sure on that without looking at it, but it was either one of those cities, those bees. I always get them confused. But he went in there and decided to do just a massive cleanup of garbage. And people said, oh, that'll never work. You know, there's going to be violence. There's going to be all kinds of problems. But he initiated this effort, and it turned out really good. His story is really interesting. If you get a chance, check him out. But anyway, that's what I have to share.
All right. Now, 10:28 is the time. We do have open phone lines up until 11 o'clock this morning, 740-622-1560, 1567, or 545-9284. We'll be back right after this.
Whether you compete on the court, at the track, on the field, or in the field, winning isn't just a goal. It's a mindset shaped, honed, and defined throughout the season. That's why farmers pushing themselves to be the best plant DeKalb brand corn. Wherever you compete, winning has roots. Perform at your best with DeKalb. Always read and follow grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
At Asgrow, farmers love to talk about the soybean bushels we help them yield. But all we can talk about is the one bushel we didn't. You know, that one buried deep in the genetics we haven't extracted yet. We're going to find that bushel. Some might call our passion for one more bushel, quote, slightly embarrassing, or quote, totally cringy, Dad. They don't understand every bushel matters. We do. That's why Asgrow leads the way. Always read and follow green marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
For winning Ohio lottery numbers 24 hours a day, call the Be Dry Lottery line at 622-CALL. That's 622-2255.
Let BeDry transform your damp basement into useful living space.
Do you know of someone in need of a lift chair, or do you need one yourself? Wilson Carpet and Furniture has a large assortment of lift chairs by Best Home Furnishings, including one called the Body Rest that lets you lay back extra far for sleeping. And we have luxury power recliners and lift chairs made by Ultra Comfort with the Eclipse feature that cradles your body for extra comfort. You can find the style that suits you and recline and lift with comfort and durability. Wilson Carpet and Furniture, 230 Main Street, Coshocton.
This is Coshocton County Commissioner Dane Shryock. In my years of public service as a law enforcement officer and as your Coshocton County Commissioner, I've seen the need for many changes. The most important change that Coshocton County needs now is the new Justice Center. The current jail is a ticking time bomb, and when it goes off, it will jeopardize and damage the financial stability of Coshocton County. Please help us avoid this financial disaster by voting yes for the Coshocton County sales tax levy on November 2nd, paid for by the Coshocton County Justice Committee, Todd Brown, Treasurer.
Get the local weather forecast by calling the Jeff Drennan Ford Weather Service at 622-0194. No one will sell you a new Ford for less than Jeff Drennan Ford. Come down and see our great selection at Jeff Drennan Ford, South 2nd Street in Coshocton.
This look at the weather is brought to you by locally owned and operated Rick's Auto Sales and Repair. The ASE Blue and iCar Gold certified technicians at Rick's Auto Sales and Repair can handle all of your auto repair needs, from dents and dings to major collision repair. Rick's Auto Sales and Repair, located on South 2nd Street, or call them at 740-622-3471.
Sunshine today with high temperatures in the mid-60s. For tonight, clear, with lows around 40, and tomorrow, sunny with highs in the upper 60s. Currently, it is 53 degrees in Coshocton. This lost and found pet information is brought to you by the Pleasant Valley Veterinary Clinic. A medium-sized female mixed breed yellow lab was found near the Coshocton Veterinary Clinic on State Route 83. And if you have any questions about this dog, you can call the clinic at 740-622-1146. This lost and found pet information was brought to you by the Pleasant Valley Veterinary Clinic. It is 10:32, and let's take our next call now. Hello, you're on the air.
Good morning, Mike. First-time caller here from Dover, Ohio.
Thank you for calling from Dover. What's going on in Dover these days?
Oh, not a whole lot. Just getting excited about the Dover-New Philly rivalry going on and all the excitement between the two communities.
Well, the New Philly's had a pretty good season, but Dover is having a special season of special seasons this year.
Yes, we are. We're proud of both communities, actually, and we're just excited for a good contest and expect both teams to make the postseason this year. So, yeah, it's kind of exciting for both.
Well, what inspired your call today?
Well, I listened to your station from time to time, and you were talking about your favorite episode of Andy Griffith was the pickle episode.
Yes.
Well, mine is the citizen's arrest.
Citizens arrest, yes.
Yep, I just love that episode and just found a lot of enjoyment out of it. And every once in a while, I'll say citizens arrest to somebody, just, and it sparks a conversation, you know.
Well, that show, if you think about the plots of the show and the message behind the show, sometimes it seemed very lightweight, but it really had a gentle, kind spirit to it, and something that I think we all need more of today.
Oh my goodness, you're exactly right there. We need community and looking out for each other and caring for one another. Absolutely.
So it was a Andy Griffith discussion that prompted your call today, huh?
Yes, it was. It's been. Actually, it started in the late 70s and the mid-90s. I was a bread salesman in Coshocton County, and while I was down there, I would listen to your radio station, and I just enjoy the lightheartedness of your particular program and how the community gets involved and speaks dialogue to one another and talks about community issues and things that are just going on that concerns their lives. And so every once in a while, I'll pop on my iPhone and I'll just listen to what's going on in your program, because I so appreciate it.
Well, and I appreciate your call this morning. I hope you call again sometime. And we have a lot of tough issues facing our country, our community, no question about that. And we talk about them, but we also do need to step back and enjoy life a little bit throughout all this.
Yes, we need a balance in life. Yes,
there you
exactly.
go.
I agree with that. Mike, well, thank you for taking my call, and you have a great day, Mike.
All right, and good luck with your tornadoes this Friday. It is 10:35. The phone lines are open until 11 o'clock. We'll be back to the phones. First-time caller from out of the county, always like that, from up in Tuscarawas County. It is 10:35. We'll be back right after these words.
Do you need a new or newer vehicle? Hi, I'm Jeff Drennan, and we are here to help in both sales and service. At my dealerships in Coshocton and Zanesville, we work hard to get you the best car deal possible, including during the current conditions in the car industry. Or if you want to sell your vehicle and it has under 100,000 miles, just stop in and see us and let us make you an offer. Stop in today at Jeff Drennan's Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Coshocton, Jeff Drennan Ford, or Jeff Drennan's GM Superstore in Zanesville. And always remember, when you're thinking of buying a new car, it's time to talk to Jeff.
Building skills and changing lives is what the Coshocton County Career Center does every day. Hello, this is Chuck Ellis at Pearl Valley Cheese. I'm inviting you to join me in supporting the Coshocton County Career Center's 1 mil operating levy. With your support and passage of this levy, we will have the ability to maintain and expand our programs, giving current and future students the opportunity to develop necessary skills to join the local workforce. With your support, each student's dream of learning a lifelong skill will become a reality.
This ad is paid for by the Coshocton County Career Center Levy Committee, Pam Grace, Treasurer.
Are you looking for a fulfilling career with great benefits? At Kraft Heinz Coshocton, you can be part of making some of America's favorite, most iconic brands. They're hosting open interviews on October 24th from 5 to 7 at their factory location at 1660 South 2nd Street in Coshocton. That's 1660 South 2nd Street in Coshocton. Stop by, grab a box of Kraft mac and cheese, and offers will be made on the spot. They're currently offering pay starting at $16.14 per hour. If you're ready to make the bacon and bring it home too, stop by and see them on October 24th from 5 to 7 p.m.
Lockstitch Upholstery has over 17 years of experience in repairing vehicles, boats, and RV interiors, including motorcycle seats, convertible tops, and headliners. Veteran-owned and operated, Lockstitch Upholstery will repair cloth or vinyl and restores everything from minor rips to complete interior recovery. For free estimates by appointment only, call 740-610-1852.
Sunshine today with highs in the mid-60s. For tonight, clear. Lows around 40. And tomorrow, sunshine with highs in the upper 60s. Currently, it is 54 degrees in Coshocton. And let's take another phone call now. Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, I just want to tell you about the JBS. I guess the first levy that they had on, because they had plenty of money back then, and this is the first levy, the JBS, and I appreciate if people would vote for it, because my granddaughter goes over there, and she really loves it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great opportunity for these kids to get education over there and get something, you know, like a quality of something that they want to do. And I wish everybody, whoever's voting, vote for JBS.
All right. Well, thank you for your call today.
Thank you.
10:38 is the time, and the Coshocton County Career Center, and hasn't been called the JVS for a long time, but a lot of people still call it that, remember it as such, Coshocton County Joint Vocational School, and that was the name when it first started back in 1978, and we spoke with Mr. Colvin last week, sharing his thoughts on the Career Center and its evolution. And now they did have a levy that covered the building and the I know there's a word for it, but this is an operational levy, not the first levy that they have had on, but one of few permanent improvements levy. That one expired, so this isn't technically a replacement because it's an operating levy. But it would not result in an increase in tax. So 10:39 is the time. Open phone lines up until 11 o'clock. And let's go ahead and take another call now. Hi, you're on the air.
Morning, Mike.
Morning.
Hey,
that lady that called in a while ago, I don't know her name, don't know her from Adam or Eve, but she really, I love to listen to her talk. And she seems very intelligent. But I want, she was talking about elections, but different stuff. Have you ever heard of a book? It's called The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America.
No, I haven't heard of that. Certainly a politically charged title, and I would agree with the sentiment behind the title to some degree.
Well, quick rundown, and I haven't read the book, so I'm not going to go into detail. Oh, and I was doing some Bible study one night with this pastor that I do Bible study with on YouTube. But he brought this book. Now, it's a woman author, and I don't know her name. And at some point in her career, she was appointed the head of the educational system or something like that. But anyway, eventually, they kicked her off of it because she was exposing things that these higher officials were wanting to do with our educational system. But, like I say, I haven't read the book, so I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail, but what he said about stuff that was in this book and what she exposes in this book, I'm surprised. I've never heard anybody mention this. But if she's listening, I would encourage her to maybe try and get a hold of this book and read it, and I would really love to hear her comment once she reads this book. And like I say, I haven't read it, so I'm not going to go into all the details of what he spoke about that she wrote in that book, but it's an eye-opener and it'd be head-turning, I'll tell you.
Okay, head-turning and an eye-opening, but you haven't read it.
No, okay. No, just what I heard. He gave excerpts. He read bits and pieces from it.
All right.
But like I said, I'm not going to repeat them because I didn't read the book. But okay. Anyway, hey, you have a good day.
Well, you too. It is 10:42, 54 degrees currently in Coshocton. And dumbing down of America, that is a phrase that that we have heard for, I don't know, at least a couple of decades now, and just from the position where I sit, we do seem to have reached a point where facts don't matter. If you just say something over and over again and shout it loud enough, and where reason doesn't prevail like it used to be. So the phrase dumbing down of America, are we experiencing it? Perhaps we are. It's 10:42. We have open phone lines up until 11. We'll be right back.
The average family of four uses 400 gallons of water a day. That's a lot of drinking, washing, bathing, and cleaning. But is your current water source providing the best possible water? Let Ray at Progressive Water Treatment help you evaluate your home's water quality and suggest the best equipment for you. Progressive Water carries water softeners, filters, reverse osmosis systems, as well as bottled water units, which are all built in the USA and feature smart, advanced electronics so they are easy and efficient to use. We also carry softener salt and 5-gallon jugs of water for cooler units available for pickup or delivery. Call Progressive Water Treatment at 740-622-5711 for all your water needs. We are located inside of Frontier Supply Company at 778 South 2nd Street.
Do you know someone who is looking for a clean, cozy place to live? Tell your employees, relatives, and friends to call Bellflower Apartments at 622-6400. First floor modern apartments in a great location featuring central air, private patio, on-site laundry, and appliances are furnished. The best neighbors in Coshocton are waiting for you at Bellflower Apartments, 566 South 3rd Street, Coshocton, Ohio. We also have 2- and 3-bedroom homes for rent. 740-622-6400.
For winning Ohio lottery numbers 24 hours a day, call the B-Dry lottery line at 622-CALL. That's 622-2255. Let B-Dry transform your damp basement into useful living space.
At Sperry & Rice, what we make makes a difference. Sperry & Rice is an advanced rubber engineering and manufacturing company, and what we make helps kids get to school safely, keeps people warm in the winter, and allows firefighters to do their job and farmers to put food on our tables. When you work with us, you make a difference. Sperry & Rice is hiring. Visit sperryrice.com/careers to learn more and apply.
Looking for a job?
Papa John's Pizza is now hiring drivers. Apply at www.pleaseapplyonline/pjz.com.
Are you a contact lens wearer? If so, Dr. David Irwin and Dr. Danielle Irwin Ellis have many different options to meet your eye care needs. For a healthy and safe choice, they recommend the new one-day disposables. Or, if you are over 40 years of age, they have a selection of bifocal contact lenses. Call Irwin Family Eye Care at 622-2270 to make an appointment today.
Sunshine today with high temperatures in the mid-60s. For tonight, clear. Lows around 40. And for tomorrow, sunny with highs in the upper 60s. Currently, it is 55 degrees in Coshocton. We have open phone lines up until 11 o'clock this morning. It is 10:45, and we've talked a little bit today about the election, the nature of politics in general. We've talked a little sports, particularly high school sports, and this is rivalry weekend, week 10 of the high school football season, and not only here in Coshocton County with Garaway at Ridgewood and Coshocton at Riverview, two exciting games here locally. We had a caller from up in Tuscarawas County, and he's a Dover Tornado, and we'll be rooting for the Tornadoes as they take on New Philly this Friday night, and rivalry games throughout the state. The Ridgewood Generals will most certainly be heading to the playoffs. Now, the top 16 teams in each region qualify for the playoffs now. But first things first, Ridgewood takes on the Garaway Pirates for the IBC Championship. And hear that game here on FM 99.3. Airtime is 6:30, kickoff 7 o'clock. Over on FM 102.7, you can hear Coshocton at Riverview. Airtime is 6:30, kickoff is 7 o'clock of Friday night, and high school football is brought to you on WTNS, FM 99.3 and 102.7, in part by Dunkin' Donuts, the Albertson Lawrence Insurance Agency, Buckeye Beverage Barn, Shriver Tire, Epicenter, and Olinger and Company. 10:47 is the time, and let's go ahead and take another phone call now. Hello, you're on the air.
Morning, Mike.
Good morning.
Congratulations is in order for you, I believe.
Well, thank you very much, and I am assuming you are referring to the newest member of my family. Beck Griffin Bryant was born Friday afternoon. He was a 8 pounds, 9 ounces. He is a big one. 22.5 inches long, born 3:10 in the afternoon, and everybody's doing well.
Well, that's wonderful news. And I could just see the big smile on your father's face. if he was around, he'd be a proud grandpa, a great grandpa.
You bet. And now Beck was my dad, Clarence Bechtel. That was his nickname. Everybody called him Beck. Even my mom called him Beck. So that was part of that was the big inspiration for the name that they chose for the little guy.
Yep, they're precious too. Anyway, back to the Browns.
I was expecting a call from you today for the Browns. That was tough to watch.
I know. Of course, they're a good ball team. There's no question about that. That quarterback. And Mayfield is sure there's something wrong with his arm, and at that hit he got there didn't help with any.
He says he's going to be back for Thursday, but we know him well enough now that if he can stand, he's going to say he's going to be back. He's that much of a competitor, but I don't think he wasn't at 100% even before he got clobbered yesterday, and I think he'd be hard pressed to be at 100% Thursday night. Still don't know how serious things are with Kareem Hunt, what the progress of Nick Chubb is, and some other players on the team. So injuries have struck the Browns. How badly? I don't know, but I think that was part of the problem yesterday.
Yes, and I think the saddest part of it is that they play Thursday night.
Yep. Thursday night. They've only got they need a bye week right now.
Right. They ain't gonna have anybody to have to put the cheerleaders in, I think.
Yeah.
So.
And it's Denver, which is maybe not one of the best teams in the NFL, but they're no slouch either.
Is it at Denver or here?
I don't know. I'll find out.
Not here, but Cleveland. Mm. Well, anyway. But it was a tough game to watch. And when we come within, you know, and he did heave that, I thought, oh, my golly, there goes his arm when he threw that 50-yard pass.
That was the best play of the game, that Hail Mary there at the end. That was exciting. It gave the Browns momentum going into halftime. They moved the ball coming out, and you probably thought as well, maybe, just maybe, they're going to be able to come back, but they fell way short.
Fell short, yeah. Yeah, and they got they won't have everybody back. They had to go out and take some off the tactic squad or whatever they call that.
Yeah.
And they still can't put much of a rush on the opposing quarterback. I mean, I don't care how good they say their defense is. It's better than it was. But they're still, I didn't see much of Garrett or whatever his name is, the one that, well, he did get a sack, though, didn't he? And he gets one or two sacks.
Yeah, and Arizona, they've got a good. It takes a good line, offensive line, for their quarterback to be as good as he is. And I'm not taking anything away from him, but it was the three games that they've lost have been against three pretty good teams. Now, the first two, they blew leads. They could have won yesterday. They just got shellacked.
Right. Yep. It didn't happen. But anyway, I just thought you needed a little fill in. I want to congratulate you anyway. That's a big thing. I know how I felt when I become a great grandpa. And of course, you're a grandpa.
Yeah, I've got, this will be my third grandchild. So the other two are 11 and 12, almost 13. Years old. This will be my younger daughter's first, though. I say will be. It is her first, but certainly I am beaming with pride. He's a good-looking little guy. He's got a great radio voice, and everybody's doing well.
Well, that's wonderful, Mike. Well, I suppose you got your garden all taken care of.
Well, I have a lot of cleanup to do. I still have some peppers that are producing, and those especially the little ones, the real hot peppers, those plants are hardy way up right up to the first frost, and then at that point, as soon as they get a frost, that's it. It's game over. But they're all in buckets, so I can make a choice and bring in if I want, I can take a bunch of them, put them on the patio. If it's going to get much below freezing, I can make a choice and bring some of them inside and see how long I can keep them going. So I might do that. But there's still a bunch of them, not all of them, but a bunch of them are still looking pretty good at here in mid-October.
Well, I got two potted plants that I saved from last year that I got out here on 7th Street there where that guy's got all that lumber and firewood, you know, where the filling station used to be across.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And he had some plants there one year, and Brett was home, and he got one of them. I don't know what the dickens they are, but I saved them, both of them. I planted one by the garage, and it bloomed its heart out this year. Uh-huh. They got a little pink flower on them, and they're just full of, and they're blooming yet. And I got one on the front porch just in a pot and in a rack. Or I got on the front porch, and it just bloomed its heart out. And it's gonna, I usually take them in and hang them in the garage and keep them over and get them out in the spring, and just as soon as it's, you know, gets warm enough, and I'll set them out sun, because they're just like a new plant, you know. They're not used to that bright sunlight, so they kind of, you got to be careful with them, not leave them out too long, and then you got to remember to take them back in because it'll frost. But by golly, we're going to get a frost one of these nights, which gets pretty close when you're down to 40s.
Well, that it is. We've got upper 30s. Let's see. When is that? When did I see 30s? I thought I saw it somewhere. But we don't have anything, at least in the next week, that indicate Saturday night, it says lows in the upper 30s. So that's getting close, but we don't have anything forecast yet below freezing. So I've got another week to make my decisions about my peppers.
I got some rhubarb I probably could pick yet. I think I could get one more mess of rhubarb to cook. And I might just do that today because it's nice and sunny out today. Pick the rest of that. Okay, Mike, that's all I had, buddy.
All right, thank you for calling. It is 5 minutes until 11 o'clock. And I'll be back one more time right after these words.
Supporting local businesses and local businesses supporting local programs. On Wednesday, October 27th, 18 local businesses will be donating a portion of their day's sales to the United Way of Coshocton. Kiefer's Florist, Carol's Men Shop, Coffee Connection, Papa John's, Irwin's Family Eye Care, G.A. Fisher Diamond Jewelers, Sprout Garden Center, Dean's Jewelry, Mercantile on Main, Liddy's Scrapyard, Witt's Custard, Our Ace Hardware, Nail City, Fisher Decorating, Wilson's Carpet and Furniture, Sprint Print, Legacy Lanes, and Bexley Ann's Boutique are all paying it forward on Wednesday, October 27th. So when you shop these local businesses, you help them give back to Coshocton County. To see the full list and the way they are helping, go to www.coshoctonunitedway.org. Keeping it local, always.
We're a farm store, a family store, a look what I found store. We're a store made for real people and some real beasts. We're a hey neighbor kind of store and an everyday low price store. We're Rural King and we're working hard to be your favorite store. These deals are so hot, we're starting Black Friday now with Providence Conventional Green Antifreeze. Just $2.99 after rebate, now through December 31st.
This is Education Matters with Ohio Education Association President Scott Damaro.
Our local school board leaders have big jobs making big decisions for our students, educators, and communities. When you head to the polls on November 2nd, make sure you're electing school board candidates who are looking at the big picture for your district, not parroting radical national agendas to score cheap political points.
Education Matters, brought to you by the Ohio Education Association.
Your home is the one place where everything should be perfect, including your air. Best Heating and Air helps you achieve the perfect air you deserve with reliable, groundbreaking, award-winning Lennox products. Call Best Heating and Air to hear more about how they can help you feel healthier and happier in your home. It doesn't get any more perfect than that. Call them today at 740-545-9400 or visit them online at bestheatingandac.com. License number 30482.
Mother Nature is both beautiful and powerful. At Dean's Jewelry, we think diamonds are too. That's why we've created our Force of Nature diamond collection. They sparkle and flash like lightning, cause eyes to rain tears of joy, and may even make the earth move. Fire, air, earth, water, light, or ether. Which diamond will speak to you? Find out. Come and see our exclusive Force of Nature diamond collection at Dean's Jewelry, Coshocton and Mount Vernon.
Do you have what it takes to solve a mystery? Adults are invited to the Coshocton Public Library for Horror in the Stacks, a murder mystery night in the library, on Saturday, October 30th at 6:30 p.m. Program participants will be given a character to portray for the evening, and treats will be won as clues are solved. Registration is required and can be completed at www.coshoctonlibrary.org.
The Coshocton Public Library System. Explore a world of possibilities.
Did you know it is recommended that your children get their first eye exam between the ages of 6 and 12 months of age, another exam at age 3, and again at age 5? Dr. David Irwin and Dr. Danielle Irwin Ellis recommend your children be examined to rule out amblyopia, known as lazy eye. Call Irwin Family Eye Care at 622-2270 to schedule your child today.
Sunshine today with highs in the mid-60s, clear tonight, lows around 40, and tomorrow sunny with highs in the upper 60s. It is currently 56 degrees in Coshocton, and that will wrap up today's Communication Lines program. Thank you for listening, and thank you for calling. And a big thank you to Stephanie Slifko, Deputy Director of the Coshocton County Board of Elections, for joining us, talking about some election stuff the first half hour or so of our program today. And let's take a look at our weather forecast. Sunshine today with highs in the mid-60s. For tonight, clear, lows around 40. And tomorrow, sunny with highs in the upper 60s. It is currently 56 degrees in Coshocton. This is WTNS-FM, Coshocton, Ohio. It is 11 o'clock.
Listen to the WTNS Communication Lines Monday through Friday from 9 until 11 a.m. on WTNS-FM 99.3 or online at my.wtnsradio.com.